I've just shared a little small teaching on God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, which is the whole Bible, but this is just a little touch. We're going to look just at a little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament, and it worked out really that it would be very easy. We're going to go literally straight through this way. We don't have to flip back and forth. It just worked out that way, so I just left it like that.
Bless your heart.
So it really did. Because I looked at it and I was like, it really doesn't matter how you do it, so you might as well just do it this way. So,
I like that.
The first thing we're going to look at is in 1 Kings, chapter 3. We're just going to look at God. Like, you'll see knowledge, wisdom, and understanding it's together all over the place in the Bible. Like, they're just, and, you know, God's heart, Him wanting us to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also look a little bit at the world's wisdom, you know, how God sees that, you know, or versus our understanding. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings 3, 1 through 14 we're going to read. So it says, "Then Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord unto those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, and I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked that Solomon asked this thing. So he asked for understanding. I mean, he could ask for, you know, we ask God, all of us ask God a million things, but he asked for understanding, to know good and bad and how to, you know, judge things and I basically help people. And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemy, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So that's pretty cool. I mean, he asked for one thing, and God says, well, I'm going to give it to you. But I'm also going to give you lengthen days, riches, and honor, and this and that.
Pretty good deal. Cool.
Yeah. All right, let's look at, we're going to hit one verse in Psalm 19. So that was, he asked for understanding, God gave him understanding. He wanted understanding. Psalm 19. Wait, is it? I had crossed something out and I couldn't read the all right. Psalm.
The verse 130 gave it away.
Yeah, 130. Yep. That's what it was. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Can somebody read it? No, I'm not even there. What was it? Psalm 19. 19:130.
I'll read it.
Okay.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to look at different things. So the end, you're going to put it all together at the end. We're going to just, so the under, what was it? One more time?
The entrance of thy words giveth light.
Right. Light.
It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Give us understanding unto the simple. Okay. Now we're going to go to Proverbs, chapter 1. All right. Just a few in Proverbs. We're going to go right through them, right in order. Make it real simple for everybody.
Chapter 1.
Yeah, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord, which we know is reverence, right? The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And chapter 2, verse 1. This one we're going to read 1 through 11. We're going to see this all three of them. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And then chapter 3, verse 5. I think I'm going to accomplish something here that's never been done before. You ready for this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the first person to ever read verse 5 without reading verse 6. Right? Mm. Has anybody ever done that? They're always together. So I'm going to be the first. Ready? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Mm-hmm. Our own. So God wants us to trust him and not lean to our own understanding. Right? And look at verse 13. Happy is the man. We're going to read 13 through 24. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So who's happy? The man who findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding.
There you go.
So I guess God wants us to have that. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days, remember this is a reference to the finding of wisdom and getting understanding. So length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. This, what was I reading? 224. This is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding, hath established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not thou depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in the way of safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And chapter 4, verse 5. Five, six, and seven is get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she, referring to wisdom and understanding, shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And chapter 9. Verse 10 and 11. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days... For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. And then we got two more in Proverbs, is 18, chapter 18, verse 15. 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And 19, verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. All right, and then look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not... All right, so now we're going to see, before I read this, is now we're going to see about the world, a little bit about world wisdom and stuff like that, or stuff that's contrary to God's, you know, or how God views it. So, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
There you go.
Wow. All right. And then in Luke, chapter 1, this is just kind of, so we're just looking at understanding for a second. I just thought this was kind of cool, like, for someone to say this. Luke 1. Because when we get the New Testament, it's a little different. We know that. The New Testament, but when we have spiritually, it's not like the Old Testament where, like, someone just has a lot of wisdom, and then this person is blessed with mercy. The New Testament, we're going to see we're blessed with everything. Like, you know, it's like everything in the Old Testament that each person had this thing, we have it all.
Right.
So it's way better. but in Luke 1, in Luke 1, this is kind of cool because I don't know why I read this and I thought this was cool. 1-4, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth an order of declaration of these things, which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in this order, excellent Theophilus." That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I just never think about it. He's had perfect understanding. That's cool, and that's available. I mean, he wasn't even born again, right?
Right.
Luke. Oh, he was. He was born again, so it's perfect. You know, I don't know all that stuff.
Well, he would have to be. He wrote one of the books of the
Bible. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking Luke. My head was thinking Luke Gospels. So, yeah, you're right. He was born again. You're right. But perfect, that he had perfect understanding on that thing. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Mary. Okay. If anything else you hear, fill me in. I don't know that much, trust me.
You're doing fine.
I'm just letting.
Yeah,
I'm not, so believe me. 1 Corinthians. We'll be in Corinthians a little bit. A couple cool things here. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 19.
There's no 19.
There isn't? Oh, there's not? Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19. Yeah, 19 through 21. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. How foolish is that? By, you know, preaching the word to get somebody saved? Well, not to God it's not, but to the world it is.
Yeah.
And then verse 27. I hope that's the right word. Yeah. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Pretty interesting. And then verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Made unto us wisdom. Not in a dream. We don't have to dream and then, you know. Like, we have it. We have God's wisdom. "And righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And chapter 2. Oh, can someone read this? I don't want to read. Mary, you read this.
All the chapter?
The whole chapter. Chapter 2, verse 1. Through 16. Okay. I just wanted to hit this because this is good. Go ahead.
"And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
That's a great chapter, right? The natural man versus the spiritual man, the knowledge, the wisdom, all the understanding, all that. A natural man cannot understand those things. God gives us spirit. We have everything. Everything we want. And if we don't, which we do have, we ask. We change our thinking.
Yep.
We tell ourselves we have it because we have it. God gives it to us. God gave it to us. And then in just chapter 12, verse 7, there's only a couple left. Hope this isn't too long. Chapter 7, verse 8. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the prophet withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. We know there's nine manifestations, but because we're talking about wisdom and knowledge, by revelation, we can receive word of knowledge and word of wisdom, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge about a situation and wisdom what to do in the situation. I mean, that's the natural man can't receive that. You can only see what they see in the senses, and make a judgment call, basically, right? Yeah. But we can know things that we couldn't know without the Spirit of God, having the Spirit of God, right?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal, you know? That's on top of the knowledge of the Word. Mm-hmm. So we already know, you know, that that's something above that. All right, in Philippians chapter 1, he's going to go real fast. There's a couple more in there, and they're going to go fast. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then all the rest. Chapter 1, verse 9. And I pray, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And in Colossians 1, Nine and ten. That ye may, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So wants us to, we can increase and we can increasing in the knowledge of God. And then in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 and 10. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we are complete in him. And then 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, singing with grace into your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then three more. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:4.
I'm sorry?
You can read it, that one verse.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, because I'm thinking of the Old Testament, we're talking about knowledge and wisdom. So then I'm looking at it now like God's knowledge. So that's a good verse, like he wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. And then in two more, well, yeah, basically, James is one verse in 1:5. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this verse. So, speaking about wisdom, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth nothing, and all shall be given. So if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for more wisdom. Mm-hmm. And chapter 3. Chapter 3:17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Beautiful. So that wisdom from above is all those things, speaking of wisdom. And the last verse is, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:1-8. 2 Peter 1:1-8. 2 Peter 1:1-8. I thought this was nice to end on. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So grace and peace through the knowledge of God be multiplied unto us through, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to the patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, God has given us everything. Anything we need to know, he'll tell us. Anytime, think about it. Anytime we need to know anything that we need to know. Why wouldn't he? Why would he not tell us anything we need to know, including his word and how to for us to understand his word? And like in Luke, where he said he has a perfect understanding. I don't think I've said that about anything in my life. Nothing. Even paint bumpers. But anyway, that's it.